repent and we get stuck in the past. And I'm sure we all are going to make some New Year resolutions, isn't we? We all, no? No? Yeah, Linda, you say yes? No, we're not? Now, a boy told his father, "Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a branch that hung over a pool, and one frog decided to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on the branch?" The dad replied, "Two." "No," the son replied. "There are three frogs, and one decided to jump. How many are left?" The dad says, "Oh, I get it. If one decides to jump, the others would too. So there are none left." The boy said, "No, Dad. It's like just like the what's that? The piggy. What's that? It says in this cartoon series." "Silly Dad. Don't call your dad silly, okay?" And then my kids dare not call me silly. The boy said, "No, Dad. The answer is three. The frogs only decided to jump." Are you with me? Are you awake now? We all know that in spite of our good intentions and determination to be true to the resolutions that we have made in the new year, there are times we fail. We fail to finish it. We fail to fulfill it. Whether it's dieting, let's not go into that area. What that is, we fail. We fail miserably and we sit, "Oh my goodness." And then what we do, we give up. Next year. Next year. Next year. Next year. But in all this discouragement, in all this disappointment, we can receive encouragement, okay? As children of God, as the follower of Jesus Christ, we can receive encouragement. And especially this morning, I want to talk from the life of Paul. As in Philippians, this is a familiar passage. In chapter 3, he says, verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize so for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live," hear me, "only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Paul is saying that I had these goals, this ambition that I want to achieve, but I haven't, and yes, I do sometimes fail, and I'm discouraged, and there are times, you know, one of the episodes, he said that I'm the worst of the sinners. I don't know what I'm doing. I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I should be doing. You know, he says that it's a struggle. It's a battle. I know about this. But you know what? One thing I do. I'm not going to sit around, sulk, and worry about the past. I'm not going to complain about the past. And I'm not going to blame everybody about the past. But I'm going to do one thing. Only one thing. I'm going to press on. Yes. I want to be sensitive. I know there are things in our past that are painful. It's so easy for me to just say, I don't want to be flippant here, but I know there are things in the past that has been hurtful that you're struggling to let go of. But the Lord is saying, I'm with you. Lord is saying that I will give you the strength. As Paul says that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. And I will make my strength perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah. So, but we got to resolve in our heart that I'm going to press forward. I'm not going to allow the enemy to tie me down in the past. Are you with me? Okay, great. Now this morning, I just want to share, as I said earlier, we all make resolutions. So we all have goals that we want to achieve. And I would say, please do plan. You know, planning is great. Just because we don't finish what we have planned doesn't mean we stop planning. Are you with me? Planning is great. If we don't plan ahead, things wouldn't take place. I can say that if we don't plan, you know, this, whether it is, you know, if you know this, whether it's Christmas service that we've been planning, the New Year's service, if you don't plan, things would not happen. You got to plan. We got to plan. And God has given us the ability, the faculty to think and to plan and to do things to honor Him. Are you with me? To do things to honor Him. So we should plan. But this morning from Apostle Paul's life, I want to talk about resolutions or goals we should make or we should aim for the coming year. That's 2020. That matters the most. Okay? There are a lot of resolutions. There are a lot of plans we make. But I want us to talk from, I wanted to share from Apostle Paul's life to talk about resolutions that he made that matters the more, that has eternal value and worth. Are you with me? And the ultimate aim of all our planning, all our goals, all our resolutions must be to achieve these goals. Goals that have eternal value and worth. Now these are no particular order, but I'd like to start with the first one. In Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he says, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So the resolution number one that you should make or resolve in your heart in 2020 for the order, or rather the rest of your life, is to please God. That should be my goal. Whether I get a new job, whether I want to excel in this or that, in my education, or I want to do a PhD, or whatever, I want to get a promotion, whatever that you desire, there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, I need to resolve in my heart that whatever I do, I want to please God. Are you with me? Pleasing God. Galatians chapter 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. The sign of a servant of Christ is that they please God. Are you with me? Resolve in your heart that whatever I do, whatever decisions that I make, whatever the plans that I make, the only aim through all that is to somehow please my Lord, my Savior. If there is any doubt in your heart that is not pleasing to God, I would say stop there. So check whatever you plan, make sure that pleases God. And I tell you, if you're really seeking God, He will tell you if it is pleasing to Him or not. I think if we had that ambition, we would number our days, as the psalmist puts in, as Moses in Psalm 90 was told. He said, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may present to You a heart of wisdom. Or another translation says, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. One of the seminary professors at Dallas Theological Seminary in U.S., a brilliant Hebrew scholar, he took this literally. He learned, according to the statistics, that the average person lives to be 70 years of age, okay, which is about 25,550 days. So he figured, according to this his age, how many days he had left. Then he took a calendar every year and marked the number of days he had left. That is living with your days numbered. With the ever-present thought that I think is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that each tick brings us closer to seeing Jesus Christ personally. So if you are 25 years old, you do not have a long time. In fact, You have about 16,425 days. How about that? 16,425 days. If you're 35 years old, you have less or about 12,775. Are you writing this down? If you are 45 years old, you have even less, about 9,125 days. Think about this. Think about this. We do not know how long our life will last. However, if he does not come, if Christ has not returned, and the rapture has not taken, every one of us, sooner or later, will come to the end. Are you with me? We all will come to an end. There is a time and a season for all our lives. Our days are numbered. You know? If we really lived in the light of this awesome thought, would we seriously worry about what we will wear or eat or where we live tomorrow? Will we worry about our promotions for a better paycheck? Would we hold on to our grudge against others? No, we would be ambitious to do what? Please God. We will make it our ambition. We make it our goal because we know my days are numbered, whether it is 16,425 or 12,775 or 9,125. You know where you are. Our days are numbered. And what will last is the only goal, that is to please him. Please God. Secondly, and remember, now this is, I'm making this easy. It was hard for me to put this in this order. I'm making it start everything with P so that you will remember. Okay? So first one is, what is it? Pleasing God. The second one is, preach the gospel. How about that? It's good, isn't it? Oh, very clever. Romans 15:20. It has always been, Paul says, it has always been my ambition, my resolution, my goal to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. It's always been my ambition. So it's not just Paul, but you and I are called to do what? Use every opportunity, every moment that God grants us to preach the gospel. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's not always Bible bashing. There are ways and means that God will give you the wisdom to share the gospel. Okay? But we've got to make every opportunity count to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Ephesians 6 says, pray also for me. Paul says that whenever I speak, let this be our prayer, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Do you know who you are? You are an ambassador, whether you like it or not. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we poor Christians. No, you are an ambassador. You're a child of God. You've been sent forth by God himself. And God has put his spirit in you to be able to preach the good news that you have received and that has transformed your life. So pleasing God. Secondly, preaching. I've got about 100 of them, so I just need to go quickly. Thirdly, pursue love. Pleasing God, preaching gospel, and pursuing love. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. This is the crown of all commandments given to us by God. So Paul's goal is to pursue love. I'm not talking about the world's love. I'm not talking about eros. I'm talking about agape. I'm talking about God's love. We pursue the love of God that is in us. There's nothing in us to love anyone. You know that. It's only God, the love that God has put in us, the Spirit of God that gives us. It's through His strength that we are able to love one another. So pursue love. It won't come automatically. We seek to love. Are you with me? My goal is I want to be loving to my neighbor. I want to be loving to my brothers and sisters this year, and not just this year, in the years to come. I want to do all that it takes to love my brother, to love my sister, to love my neighbor, to love my wife, to love my children, no matter how pain in the neck they may be. I'm not talking about my children. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:5. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Worldly love never comes with pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. It always comes with corruption. It always comes with selfishness. So Jesus warned us, you know the reason why Paul's saying pursue love? Make it your ambition to love. You know why? Because Jesus warned that in the last days, one of the things that will lack even in the church is what? Love. There'll be a lack of love. Well, love, it says, Jesus uses the word, the love will grow cold. There'll be a lot of forms of love, but not the real love. We may pretend to love somebody. We may pretend to be very loving to one another in the body of Christ. But is it really? Are we really genuine in our love for one another? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. Did you hear me? What is godly love? Godly love is selfless. It's a love that values others above yourself. It's a love that looks out for not of your own interest, but others' interest. Are you with me? Can somebody get some water for me, please? Thank you. So love is paramount as the follower of Jesus Christ. So what are some of the resolutions that we need to make in 2019 as we enter to 2020? Can anybody remember? Pleasing God? Preaching the gospel? Sorry? Pursue love, or pursuing love. Fourthly, moving on quickly, passion for the church. Are you with me? I like Paul's passion. You read the epistles, you'll see Paul's passion for the body of Christ. The passion for not just the worldwide church, but the local church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:12, so it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Excel in the gifts. Thank you, darling. That's fine. Thank you. Excel in the gifts that will build up. You and I are part, as part of the body of Christ. If you and I are part of the body of Christ, if you have received Christ as your Savior, if you have witnessed Him in the waters of baptism, and if you are part, you're part of the body, if you're part of a local church, you're part of the body of Christ. And if you are part of the body of Christ, you have a part to play in the body of Christ. And so my prayer this morning for you and I, as we enter into 2020, will be that you and I, will have a passion for the body of Christ. You know what Christ is coming for? Who you know? You know who He's coming for? He's not coming for just one individuals. He's coming for his bride. Who is that?
Church.
Christ, he's passionate. If anybody is more passionate, it's Christ who is passionate for his body. And scripture tells us that he died for his church. And he will lay down his life for his church. Passion for the church. Every part of the body has a function for the growth of the body. So you've got to make sure you're doing your part. Whatever that may be. Because you and I will be accountable to God. Are you with me? You and I will be accountable. If you are in Christ, if you are a child of God, you got to know that. You got to know that. Understand that you have a gift. And you have a place. You have a part to fulfill in the body of Christ. And if you're not doing that, you're accountable to God. So let's pray for the passion for the church. You know what? Sometimes our work, our schedule, our job, our family situation, our finance, sometimes they just cloud our mind, our hearts so much that we have no time for the body of Christ. It's so easy. We all can get busy. We all can get stuck with stuff. But my prayer this morning is that we will have a passion for the body of Christ. Passion for the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, from him the whole body joined, this is Christ. From him, Jesus Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Did you hear the word? Supporting ligament. Grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I didn't say that. Paul wrote that in Ephesians chapter 4:16. So, the New Year resolution, whatever you make, that are pleasing God, preach the gospel, pursue love, passion for the church. Fifthly, praise and glorify Christ. Praise and glorify. Let worship and praise and thanksgiving to Christ become an integral part of your daily living. Amen. Let worship become an integral part of your daily living. That you breathe praises to God. That you live for His glory. Praise and glorifying Christ. Galatians chapter 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise and glorify Christ. And Philippians, this famous scripture, chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The only way, church, the only way you can rejoice in the Lord is by praising and worshiping. There's no other way. And I know of any other way to rejoice in the Lord. At all situation, at all time. The only way to rejoice in the Lord, the only way to rejoice in the Lord, even in our worst circumstances, is by praising and worshiping Him and giving Him glory. Even in our pain, to give Him glory. God, you are good. We've been singing of God's glory, goodness, isn't it? God, you are good. You are good. Your mercies endure forever. And great is your faithfulness. And you know what? When we speak that out, joy just floods into our hearts. As we sing praises to Him. As we give Him thanks in the midst. And as the psalmist says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you're with me. And then we know that He's with us. And then we give Him thanks. As we give Him glory. As we praise Him. Joy just floods in. Try that. Joy just floods in as we worship Him. Yes, there may be sorrow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is sorrow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. So praise and glorify. Let this be our resolution this year, that no matter what our circumstances, daily, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to glorify my God. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to make my life a worshiping life. Sixthly, so there is pleasing God. Preach the gospel. Pursue love. Passion for the church and glorify Christ. Sixthly, pursue knowing Christ. And you know the famous scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this has been his passion, this has been his goal and ambition, that I want to know Christ. Let that be our passion. Whatever I do, Lord, whatever I do, wherever you place me, with whatever job I may get, whatever my circumstances may be, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. He said, yes, I want to know Christ. I can imagine, Paul may be right, you know, the way Paul must have written, I can just imagine, if I put my emotions in it, he'll say, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know Christ. To know the power of His resurrection. I don't want to know, fill my mind with some knowledge, some theology, some dogma, some liturgy. No, I'm not satisfied with that. But I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. He said, I'm not talking about just studying some theology or getting something in my head. No, I want to know Christ. Yes, through His written word, but I want to experience Him. I want to experience His resurrection power. You know why? Because the same power that raised Jesus Christ dwells in me, and I should experience His resurrection power. I want to experience His resurrection power. And not only that, participating. You know, many of us won't like that. Paul says, not just experiencing His power and His glory, but I also want to experience and be part of His suffering. No one has known, after Christ, I could say that no one has known the suffering of Christ like Paul. And yes, there are so many thousands and millions of saints of past who have known what it means to be part of the suffering of Christ, to be part of His suffering. So it's not just all glory, 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 not just the power, 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 but I also want to experience what? I also want to be part in His suffering. Because the only way you actually experience resurrection is when we participate in His suffering. Are you with me? The only way to experience a resurrection power is not when everything is going well and hunky-dory, but it's only when we go through pain and suffering that we really experience the power of God's, Christ's resurrection in us. Are you with me? And becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let that be our resolution. Let our resolution be to please God in 2020. Let it be to preach the good news. Let it be to pursue love. Let it be to have passion for the church. Let it be to praise and glorify Christ. And to pursue knowing Christ. Colossians 2:2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. This is Paul's prayer for the church. And seventhly, Let this be our resolution, you know. And this is one thing that we all struggle. We all struggle with. We make big resolutions in this area, and I would say keep making that. Make it your ambition. Even if you fail, make it your ambition. And that is to pray always. We all struggle with it. Some more or some less. Pray always. In Colossians chapter 4, 2, Paul writes, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself. It's not something that just a last minute resort of crying out to God. No, he says, devote yourself. Let prayer become part of your daily living, your waking, your sleeping time. You're moving around, you're walking. You know what? You can pray at all times. We can pray at all times, even when we are at work. We can pray. I don't know how you find it. You know, some of us, you know, some of us put prayer into a religious box. Oh. I believe in planned prayer. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we put prayer in a religious box. You know how it is? Early morning, 5 o'clock, I pray. And before I sleep, I pray. And in between, we pray at all times. Good to have a habit of early morning prayer. Good to have a habit of late in the night prayer. Good to have to develop a habit of a family prayer. Can I encourage you, church? If you don't have a family prayer, can you start that? Please, don't ignore praying with your family. Please, don't ignore. Don't neglect praying together as a family. Make it your ambition. Whatever happens, that me and my family, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. And how do you do it? I'm not going to prescribe. You know how you want to do it. You know what works for you, but do it. Make it a point to meet as a family every evening, or whether it's morning when before you go to school, whatever suits you, but make it a point. Quite often I enjoy praying with my children in the car as I'm dropping them to school. We pray together. Make it a point. Let's not neglect praying. Prayer is so, so crucial for our Christian life. And that's why Paul says, devote yourself. Not just randomly pray and carry on. No, devote yourself. You got to set time. You got to make time for prayer. I don't know how you're going to do it, but make time for prayer. And continue praying. Even when you're at work, you can pray. Even when you're traveling, you can pray in your heart. You can speak in tongues. If you have the gift to pray in tongues, pray. Do whatever it takes. Pray. Cry out to God. Pray for somebody next to you. And you have no idea the impact of those prayers. Pray. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. An unknown Christian in his book, the author is unknown, The Kneeling Christian. How many of you read? I don't know. He writes, it is not too much to say that all real growth in the spiritual life, all victory over temptation, all confidence and peace in the presence of difficulties and dangers, all repose of spirit in times of great disappointment or loss, all habitual communion with God depends upon the practice of secret prayer. Yes, you must have family prayer, but have your personal prayer at all times. At all times. We can do it. Don't tell me I'm not able to pray. We can do it, church. We can do it. If we can eat our food, we can remember to eat our food. We can pray. We can pray. We can walk and pray. Some of us, I enjoy going out and just go for a walk and pray. Because sometimes if I sit in the house, I'll be so distracted with food, with children, with my wife. I just get out. TVs. I don't have one. But we just get distracted. If you're that kind of person who gets easily distracted, go out, go for a walk. Pray. And I enjoy doing that. Pray. Pray. I can't stress it enough, church. I can't stress it enough. You know what? This church will be completely different. I guarantee you. This church will be a different place. Our gathering, our fellowship will be a different kind if we all decide to pray. If we all press on in praying and devoting ourselves to pray. Jesus warned us in Matthew 26, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know many of you make that excuse. The spirit is willing, Pastor, but you know my flesh. Pray. Devote yourself. Just 10 more. No, the final one. So what are they? Come on, let's go over it. Come on, what are they? First, the resolution that you're going to make this year in 2020. Pleasing God. Preach the good news or gospel. Pursuing love. Passion for the church. Praise and worship, glorifying Christ. Pursuing knowing Christ. Pray always. And finally, pray at all times. Prepare for Christ's second coming. Prepare for Christ's second coming. Hey, prepare for Christ's second coming. We've been celebrating the first coming of Christ, isn't it? We enjoyed celebrating. But let's prepare. Let's prepare for the coming of our King. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Ray, just sit down, Ray, please. Thank you. Titus 2, 13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Let this be our ambition. I'm reminded of that what Priscilla preached about Simon. He was a priest. We don't know how old he was. But he says that he was waiting and he was prepared to do what? Receive the Messiah. And his prayer was that, Lord, now I've seen the Messiah. Now I'm ready to go. That was his prayer. That was his desire to see the Messiah. But now, you and I have experienced, have seen the Messiah. Now it's time for us to wait, anticipating, desiring for the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We're not waiting for a baby to come. We're waiting for the King of the of Kings and the Lord of Lords in his second coming. He comes in his glory. He left his glory when he came first. But now he's going to come in his glory, church. He's going to bring heaven down. Isn't that exciting that we live in a time, an age, where Christ is going to come with his glory? Maybe some of us may be still alive. Some of us may not be. But we can still live desiring and preparing for Christ coming. Paul's prayer for the church in 1 Thessalonians 3:13 is, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is my prayer for you. Church, may he strengthen you. May Christ strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless. The only way we can stay blameless and be prepared is by living with a resolution to please God, with a resolution to continue to preach the gospel, good news, with a resolution to continue to pursue what? Love. Continue to do what? Having passion for his church, his bride, and continue to praise and glorify him, and continue to pursue knowing him, and then Continue to pray. And that's the only way we can stay prepared for His coming. So let this be our resolution for 2020. Make other plans if you want to. Go for it. Have other resolutions. Whether it is with regard to your career or whatever, your family, or whether buying a house, whatever. Make it, plan it, prepare for it, think about it. But it all should be above all our resolutions should be these that I've just shared, which was Paul's ambition, Paul's goal, Paul's resolution. May the Lord bless you, King.